Good evening. Good to see you guys tonight. Let's take our Bibles tonight and open up to the book of Acts. It'll be in Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 6. Hope everybody had a great day, a great Saturday. We had a great Saturday and enjoyed our day today. And it's been such a pleasure to be here and getting to know so many of you. Listen, I'm telling you, there is a special spirit in this church. We have the privilege of being in many different churches, and there is just, I guess the word I would use to describe it is life. There's a lot of life in this church. Joy, fellowship. I think if we would have stayed last night, I think if we would have kept fellowshipping, we probably would have got home about 12 o'clock last night. if the kids didn't need to get back and get to bed. But I love that. It reminds me of our home church, Fellowship Baptist Church. We name that appropriately, but our people just hang out and talk and talk, and just such a blessing. And I will not forget earlier this week when we were at something and I got home and I checked my email and I told my wife, I'm like, I got like 20 emails like in the past hour. I was like, what is going on? I was like, who are these people? And I started reading them, and oh my goodness, what a blessing, guys. Many of you guys emailed me, told us that you were praying for us and excited for us come. And I told my wife, we better get down there. Okay, these people are ready for missions conference, clearly. Oh, that was awesome. So even before we got here, we knew this was going to be a great meeting. We went to the Air Force Museum today. That was a lot of fun with our kids. And you can't beat the price. So I am all about that price tag right there. So we had a good time. We had a local tour guide came and helped us. Have any of you heard of the tour guide that does tours through there named Bridget? Anybody know Bridget? Okay, yeah, she does tours through the museum. And so that was fun. She gave us a tour of the museum, and then she gave us a tour of Chick-fil-A. And so we had a good day today. So then I dropped my wife off and some of the kids. The kids needed to take a nap, and I took the two older ones, and we went over to Golf Galaxy. And did that store just open? Because it had like a now open sign in the front. So we just looked up Golf Store just to go look around. So we're in there, and we're in there for 5 minutes, and somebody comes over the loudspeaker, and they're like, please, if you didn't get your raffle ticket for the brand new TaylorMade driver, make sure you get your raffle ticket now. We're drawing in the next 5 minutes. I look at Titus and he's like, let's go get it. So we got the raffle ticket. There wasn't even that many people in the store, probably, I don't know, 20, 30 people. You will not believe what happened. We did not get it. I was like, Lord, we're doing your work. You know, I kissed the day of the Lord. And nope, we didn't get it. It was the person standing next to me was like, woohoo. I'm like, whatever, dude. Whatever. Do you enjoy that driver? And so, and thank you for you guys got us a gift basket. And there was so much good food. Like, and when I say good food, I mean food you can actually eat in the gift basket. And there was also some bad food in there. But you know what they say. Good food makes you healthy. Bad food makes you happy. And so you need both of them, right? You need some good food and you need some bad food. You need to stay healthy and you need to stay happy. And so if you were wondering which one of the food we were eating, I'll just tell you, we're very happy tonight. And so thank you. Thank you for your generosity. It just says it's really been a treat. Let me ask you this. Has God ever asked you to do something that doesn't make sense? Has God ever asked you to do something that doesn't make sense? You know, we were at that museum today, and I couldn't help but think of our military, and it was so much fun showing the kids the different uniforms, especially like over the years. And I will say this, the uniforms they used to wear do not look safe. They have helmets and they're made out of like leather. I'm like, That's not going to do a whole lot of good if you crash. But I was thinking about our military, and the military always fascinates me. I have never felt called to be in the military. I am too soft for that, and too squishy, but I have the utmost respect and thanks for those that serve in the military. I really do. I'm so impressed with the with what those guys are able to do. And I remember what my wife and I, we were watching this military show. And it was where they were taking civilians and putting them through special forces training and to see how many of them could make it through. I'm not quite sure why anyone would torture themselves like that, but that's what the show was about, and that's what they were doing. It came out a number of years ago. And so they're on this show, and they're going through this special forces training, and it was intense, to say the least. Of course, this was also a toned-down version of what the actual special forces guys go through. But there's parts where there was physical endurance, obviously, physical endurance that they had to go through. There was these water tests where they would just for hours on end have to be in the swimming pool where their hands were tied and bob up and down to be able to last, I guess. They even took them through torture scenarios in this show, capture and escape scenarios that they took them through. And there was a lot of things that they did, and while they're doing it, it didn't make sense to the recruits. It didn't make sense to the people, those people that were going through the training. And even as I was watching it, and my wife and I were watching it, the instructors really came off as jerks. They really came off as though they enjoyed torturing these people coming in. And even as you're watching it, you're like, why would they do that? That is so mean. That's so cruel. And even as we were watching it, you're just like, man, these guys have no mercy. What is wrong with these instructors? They get some type of sick enjoyment out of doing this. But here's what was so cool about that show. Is that they would be going through the scenarios, but then throughout the episode, they were doing those interviews like they do on those shows with the instructors, and the instructors were explaining to us, the audience, why they were doing what they were doing. And here's what's so crazy. No matter how cruel or mean it seemed like the instructors were being, on the back end, they would explain why this is what I'll say. They never did anything without a very specific reason for doing it. Every single thing that they did, no matter how small or obscure it was, in the interview, they would explain why they were doing it. I remember they were going through this torture test, and they were blindfolded, and they were tied up, and they were inside this like warehouse. And then periodically throughout this, they would come just randomly, and they were there for a long time, they would just dump cold water on them, which of course you can imagine as they have like these noises playing and they're tied up, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere, cold water gets dumped on you. For those, the recruits, it seemed like they were torturing them. But on the post, they were explaining it, they said it's so hot, this is actually bringing it seems like we're torturing them, and that's what we want them to think. But we're actually bringing their body temperature down because it's so warm and so hot, we periodically have to actually bring their body temperature down so they, so here's the point. Everything they did had a purpose. Nothing, you think, oh, these jerks just coming in, just dumping ice water on these poor people blindfolded. Everything had a reason and a purpose. Which of course, I would think in the real life, you don't get to see all that till the end and understand exactly why the things are taking place that are taking place. And I couldn't help but think about that as we think about the way God works. And how many things does God take us through? And I think as you get older, you have more of an appreciation, but where at the time, it doesn't make sense. At the time, it might even be frustrating, or at the time, at times you might even think God is being a bit cruel. But then as time goes on, you're able to say, oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes, oh, that's why God was doing that. That was what God was trying to do or to teach me. So I think we get the same type of thing, the same idea here in this passage. And let's dive in and see what we can learn from this passage, what we can learn from Paul and Silas and Timothy as they're going on. And let's look at this situation going here and then look at ourselves and look at our lives and kind of see how God works. So some of the ways that God works. So just for context, at this point in this passage that we're about to read, Paul is on his second missionary journey. Paul's journey started after Paul and Barnabas had a disagreement over John Mark. And so Paul and Barnabas part ways. Barnabas goes with John Mark. Paul takes Silas with him on the second missionary journey. And when I say Paul and Barnabas had a disagreement, it was a fairly strong disagreement. Have you ever had a strong disagreement with someone? But you know what I love about this passage, and this is about. This is just a little bonus point from here, is sometimes God has to use friction to move us. Sometimes, and I even imagine, nobody likes to have friction. No one likes to have conflict. But here, Paul and Barnabas, God is using a situation to get Barnabas and John Mark to move and to get Paul to team up with Silas and to start going another way. And you can unpack that text, who was right, who was wrong. I'm of the opinion they were both right, in a way. And God was just using that situation to move them. And I've seen God even do that in our lives, where he uses, you just get comfortable where you're at. And sometimes God needs to make you a little uncomfortable so you'll move to where he wants you to go. So here we are in this passage. We got Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Hey, I believe Paul was one of the great, this is missions conference. I believe Paul was one of the greatest missionaries to ever live. What a pioneer, right? He was ahead of his time. He was laying the groundwork. And God used Paul's missionary journeys to spread the gospel to many parts of the Roman Empire. But during their journey to Phrygia and Galatia, Paul has an interesting situation happen to him and his team that I think we can learn a lot from. Last night, we talked about stepping out in faith and following God no matter what, right? You see the need. You can't unsee it. Time to take that step of faith. Time to follow God. But I think this is a bit of a continuation of that, and I didn't really even realize that until I was really studying it through today. I was like, wow, this really piggybacks well onto last night's message. But I think we see what happens when we step out in faith to follow God, maybe a bit of the process after we see the need and we step out and we follow him and whatever that is, and then maybe more of the journey down the road. And I think we can learn some key principles about the process of following God's direction in our lives from this passage here. All right, so let's look here, Acts chapter 16. Let's look at verse 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So I think the first thing that we see here in this passage is we see that as they're following God, as they're moving in this direction, they start hitting some closed doors. You step out in faith, you follow God, and you start hitting some closed doors. Paul and his team, they've been traveling through the regions of Phrygia and Galatia during their missionary journey. And what was their mission? To preach the gospel. Is this a good thing? Is there any greater thing to do than to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? So they're going to preach the gospel. And man, I relate with this, right? Because we're working with national pastors to reach the unreached areas of the world with the gospel, help plant churches. That is what Paul is doing. He is going to the unreached areas to reach people with the gospel and plant churches. I relate with this with this mission that he's on. And the Holy Ghost, that's God, in case you're wondering, prevents them from continuing to preach in Asia. Can you imagine, as Paul, as his companions, can you imagine how confusing this must be? You are going to preach the gospel, and God stops you. That seems odd. That's very confusing, God. They were, here's it. I don't think they were headed to Asia for no reason. This is Paul we're talking about, okay? So if you know anything about Paul, this guy walked with God. I don't think Paul made decisions, especially decisions this significant, and we know this from his past, from other things. He didn't make decisions like this without fasting and praying, trying to discern God's will and his direction. So I can imagine they fast, they prayed, they felt God leading them to go in this direction. They sought God's guidance. I'm sure they were confident in it. Why is God telling them no? Why is God telling them not to preach the gospel in Asia? You know, sometimes God can tell us no for something that is a good thing. And I will say this, right? We're talking about stepping out in faith. Imagine the continuation of yesterday's message as you step out in faith, and then you're moving down the direction you believe God wants you to go, and then God starts shutting doors. That can get confusing. That can be hard. That can be challenging. Have you ever been following God and hit a situation that did not make sense to you? But God, I thought this is what you wanted us to do. But I thought this was the direction you were calling us. We prayed about this. We stepped out in faith. God, we stepped out in faith. We made sacrifices for this. And now it seems like we're hitting a wall. The yesterday's message, that was first grade. We're in second grade now. Have you ever hit some closed doors? You know, sometimes God's direction can include closed doors and obstacles in our life. And how did Paul respond to this? You know what he did? He's like, God, I don't understand exactly what you're doing. I don't know why you're stopping us from doing this, but I trust you. Now, I'm reading into that a bit, but clearly that's Paul's spirit. That's Paul's heart, because he continues right on. Listen, we need to accept God's leading even when it goes against our original plans. Paul and his friends wanted to go to Asia, but God said no, so they made a pivot, and they started heading toward Bithynia. All right, let's look here, verse 7. After they were come to Mysia and essayed to go to Bithynia. So, I know those are a lot of big words. Here's the point. They were headed, they made a pivot, and now they're going to Bithynia. And then what does it say? But the Spirit suffered them not. So here, like, okay, God, clearly you're shutting the door going this direction, so we're going to start headed this direction. Plan A has been closed, so God, we weren't expecting to, but now we're headed toward plan B. After being forbidden to preach in Asia, Paul and his companions, they travel Mysia. They attempt to go to Bithynia, and again, the Holy Spirit stops them. Have you in your life ever seemed like you were hitting closed door after closed door after closed door? It's like, Lord, what more do you want from me? I'm trying. We're trying to do the best we can. We're following you. And it just seems like closed door after closed door after closed door. You're doing your best to follow the Lord. You've prayed. You've planned. You've stepped out in faith. But instead of moving forward, you keep hitting obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. One of those terms, when it rains, doesn't that just seem like the way that it is? And that never happens at a good time, by the way. This is the reality for where Paul and his team, this is exactly where they're at right now. Paul was not going in this direction. He was not doing this out of any type of personal ambition. He wasn't doing this out of any type of secret, like, there was nothing there, okay? There's no correction that God's trying to bring into his life. This is pure motives. We know Paul. Paul's desire was to make Christ known as far and wide as possible and plant as many churches. Paul's goal is to get the gospel to the world. But instead of moving forward, just keep seeing all of these closed doors. You know, my prayer with Core Missions, and I pray this, and right now we've worked with around 200 nationals in about 20 different countries. But my prayer, genuinely, is that the Lord can grow this ministry to the point where we have national pastors in every single closed country in the world. That's my prayer. I believe that prayer honors God. I believe God wants the gospel in every closed country, and that's by the grace of God, especially once we're full-time. That's what I'm going for. National pastors, churches planted in every closed country in the world, working with guys to help the gospel get there. But guess what? Could God close that door? He could. That doesn't make sense to me. God, why would you? I am not God. And I need to be open to that fact. But that's my prayer. Like, so here's the point. I'm thinking about where Paul's at, and I'm like, that's my heart too. Paul, what your heart is, that's my heart. And I'm trying to process myself. How would I be responding if God is closing door after door after door? Sometimes God's answer is not go. Sometimes it's not yet. Sometimes in our life, whatever God is leading you, whatever he's doing, it's not yet. Sometimes it's not here. Sometimes God's given you something and put something on your heart, and sometimes it's not go, sometimes it's not yet, and sometimes it's not here. And that can be hard to accept, especially when we believe that we're following the Lord. I guess, like, just really quickly, just to summarize, following God is not all gumdrops and lollipops. It's not like yesterday's message where you step out in faith and you start following the Lord and then just like everything lines up. Following God, following his will, following what he wants us to do, it is a journey. It's a journey. It's not just a one decision. I'm going to follow God and I make that decision and God, I'm going to do it today. I am telling you, following God is a day-by-day journey in our lives. I wish I could just tell you it was as easy as you make that one decision and, you know, this is it for the rest of your life. But it is a constant day-by-day thing. And, you know, I can't help but think about a situation like this that happened when we stepped out of our ministry and were looking for someone to replace me and at our home church. And the Lord had kind of put a young man on my heart, a great young guy. Married, he was working at a camp ministry, and he had grown up in our church and was serving at this camp. And my wife and I had talked, and we thought, man, he would be a great replacement. He'd make such a good replacement for our ministry to come in. So I remember that next week, I got together with my dad, who is a senior pastor, and I said, you know who would make a great replacement for my position? And I told him about the young man, and he goes, that is crazy. God put that exact same young man on my heart. He goes, I was talking to your mother. God put him on your mother's heart. And it just seemed like this was the way God was leading. And we talked. So we brought the young guy down. We talked to him, shared with him the vision. He's so excited about it. He's like, give me just a little time to pray about it. But he's like, this is really where I feel God calling me in my life. So we're like, yeah, absolutely. You know, you got to pray about that. And you know, in our mind, it was a done deal. A month goes by, 2 months, 3 months. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? I talked to my dad. Hey, have you heard from him yet? He's like, no, I haven't heard from him. I happened to be speaking at that camp, so I knew I was going to see him. And I was like, you know, pulled him to the side. And I'm like, you need to let us know sometime. And he's just pretty much, God's not leading us to go there. And I will say this, that was confusing. God put him on my heart, God put him on my wife's heart, my dad's heart, some other leader's heart, one of the deacons, the Lord had put him on his heart. But you know what? Our ways are not always God's ways. And you know, we just have to accept that. It's like, hey, that made sense to us, I guess. But that wasn't what the Lord wanted. Here I think we learn a lot from Paul's example. Number one, don't let closed doors let you doubt God's direction. As long as that beginning part, like yesterday's message, if you were here, you know, you feel the Lord calling you to do it, you've got that nailed down and you're following him, just because you're hitting closed doors, do not let that get you to doubt God's direction in your life. Just because a door is closed does not mean it will be closed forever, or that you're outside of the will of God. It just means that for now, the door's closed, and God is sovereign. We are not, and he understands, and we don't. And we just got to follow him step by step. Also, we must learn, like Paul, to have spiritual sensitivity to the Lord. We need to learn how to discern God's voice, how to discern his direction. Open doors, closed doors. I am telling you, the most destructive thing you can do is when God is closing a door is try to kick it down. That is disastrous. And how do we become sensitive to the Lord and his leading? You want to know how you become sensitive to what the Lord is trying to tell you? You get the word of God inside of you. God speaks through his word. And if you want to know what God is saying, you need to read God's word. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to be filled with his word. And when you stay in his word and in prayer and surrender, you will be more able to recognize the difference between go, wait, and no as you spend time in his word. And then lastly, you know, from Paul here, I think we see that God may be preparing you for something greater than you even know. Let's continue on in this passage, verse 9. And a vision appeared unto Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. Praise God. He's finally given clear direction of where to go. God has finally given direction through the darkness, through the fog, through the, I am sure, what might have felt like the waste of time. Have you ever felt like you're wasting your time? Can you imagine Paul and his team? They're not getting on flights and just going back and forth to these places. It is a journey. It takes time. It takes effort. Maybe even feeling like, oh, what a waste of time. What a waste of money. That is what God wanted them to do. Now Paul sees clearly the vision. He's come unto us, like the man crying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. And after a confusing time, hitting closed door after closed door after closed door, God finally gives Paul and his team clarity, the call to bring the gospel to Macedonia. But I want you to notice something. It wasn't their first choice. Where God is ultimately leading them was not their first choice. You want to know something interesting? It wasn't even their second choice, but it was God's choice. So they felt the Lord leading them to do something. This wasn't their first choice. This wasn't their second choice. But ultimately, this was God's choice. You know, sometimes God speaks to us in that still small voice, and we need to be sensitive to that. But here in this passage, and I think sometimes God speaks to us this way too, sometimes it's so clear, you cannot ignore it. I heard somebody say one time, they're like, you know, when you're trying to discern the Lord's will, and I believe that there's so many principles throughout Scripture given about discerning the Lord's will and steps to take, and that's a message for another time. But, you know, I remember this guy saying, you know, when you're trying to discern the Lord's will, it's not like you're eating, SpaghettiOs, what are the ones with all the letters in it, what do they call that? ABC soup or whatever. He's like, you know, God's not going to spell it out like that in your soup. But if he does, you should pay attention. Okay? If he does spell it out in your soup, I would not be listening. But that's typically not the way the Lord works. But sometimes God is very clear when he wants us to do something. Here we see before he's being vague, now he's being very clear with Paul. All right, let's look here. Verse 10. So now we see the clarity. He's given them what he wants to do. Verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, what's that next word? Immediately. We endeavored to go unto Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So the last thing we see is obedience to the call. You want to know something interesting? This is not the first time they've had to step out in obedience, right? So they have been following in obedience. and here once again. That's why I say it's not that one-time decision. Following God, discern, you know, doing all those things that he wants you to do, that is a process. It is a day-by-day thing. And here we see another time where they have to step out in obedience to God, even though it was not originally the direction that they felt God calling them to do. They saw the vision, and immediately, the vision was clear, the calling was clear, immediately we endeavored to go unto Macedonia. Following God, like I said, is not a one-time decision. It's a journey of faith. Sometimes God is working through us. What a privilege. What a privilege it is for God to work through us. So sometimes God is working through us, but sometimes God is working in us. Sometimes God wants to work through us to accomplish something, but sometimes he needs to do some work on us to prepare us for what he wants us to do. I cannot help but think of through my ministry, I mentioned this in my video, but it's like God has been preparing our family to start serving with Core Missions. And I'll never forget the first time, like I got the opportunity, I was probably 28 years old, I got the opportunity to preach at a teen camp. And man, I was so nervous. And I got the opportunity to preach at this teen camp, 28 years old. And I preached this week of teen camp. I was so embarrassed and humiliated at how bad my preaching was. I remember driving home and saying, I will never preach again in my life. That is the worst experience of my life. I felt like a bumbling buffoon up there. That was horrible. And I was just so humiliated. But I remember after that experience, I decided, because then somebody else asked me to speak, which I'm like, what is wrong with these people? They clearly have not a great pool of people to choose from if they're asking me again. And I remember thinking to myself, you know, just processing this with what God has done, I thought, I never want to be embarrassed like that again. And it was like at 28 years old, I started really passionately studying preaching, how to preach, how to study God's word, how to communicate, all of those things. And to think that at that time, And then serving with the student ministry. And I remember just using the student ministry. This is what I always said. The teens are my church. And I'm going to pretend like I am the senior pastor and they are my congregation. And I'm going to preach to them just like I'm preaching in real church. And I used all of those years, that next 10 years, as my opportunity to practice and to grow and to develop. And it's like, wow, God was preparing me for what we're doing now. And never in my wildest dream could I have even thought of the direction God would lead us. And sometimes God, like I said, he wants to work through us, but sometimes he wants to work in us. And he's taking us through things, and he's growing us and developing us because he's got something on the other side that he needs us to do, but we're not quite there yet. Following God, like I said, not a one-time decision. It's a journey. We're all in gospel ministry. I don't care what you do. You can be retired. You can be a stay-at-home mom. You can be a truck driver, a business owner, a personal trainer. We're all in gospel ministry. I mentioned last night, it's more important who you are than what you do. And my question to you is, what is God asking you to do for the cause of the gospel? For some of us, it's getting involved personally, going on a mission trip, getting more involved here at church. Maybe there's just something the Lord's putting on your heart. I'm so thankful for those that give. We could not do what we are doing without the giving of God's people. That is just the reality of what it is. And I'm so thankful for the generosity of God's people. I'm so thankful for the generosity of God's people, of all the national pastors that we're able to support around the world. And I know this church is a part of that. Thank you. But what is God asking you to do? Maybe you've felt that calling. Maybe you've been on the journey, but there's been some bumps along the way. Maybe there's been some closed doors, some obstacles. I'm here to tell you, stay faithful. Stay at it. Stay true to what God has called you to do in your life. And it might be kind of like me, 10 years ago, a decade ago, where God is working and maybe God is starting to work right now, because they're in 5 years, in 10 years, there's something huge that you can't even imagine. But what he's doing, he's asking you to stay faithful right now. Be faithful to what he has called you to do today. Trust him, follow him. Imagine what God could do, a work that he could do, if we all just followed him, whether it made sense or not. That when it doesn't make sense or we hit those rough times, we throw in the towel. I think back over the people I went to college with. I had the opportunity to work at a camp up in Michigan called Camp Kobiak for 3 different years, I think, of all the friends that I made. And the thing that breaks my heart is I think of all my friends that have thrown in the towel, that at one time loved the Lord and were following him and threw in the towel. But then I also think of my friends that have just stayed faithful. A few weeks ago, I went out to coffee with a friend of mine that we had worked together at camp, and now he's a school administrator. And I told him, I said, thank you for your faithfulness. Who would have thought that we would be the two of all the great kids at camp, these two jokers would still be following the Lord? We would be the most unlikely. I mean, we seemed like the most unspiritual people compared to all the other counselors at camp, but we laughed about it because God does have a sense of humor. But imagine what God could do through all of us if we just followed him no matter what, whether it made sense or not. I remember my parents always, they just really loved Charles Stanley. They both loved him. And I'll never forget something Charles Stanley always said. At the end of his message, he would always say, trust God and leave all the consequences to him. He said it over and over again. And I've never forgot that. Trust God and leave all the consequences to him. Dear Lord, thank you for this night. Thank you for the second night of Missions Conference as we think about spreading the gospel around the world and at home. And Lord, just thank you for all those that are here, these faithful church members. And God, I don't know exactly what you are asking each one of them to do, how you are working, but God, I just pray that no matter what is happening right now in each and every person's life, Lord, I just pray that no matter what, whether we understand it or not, God, that we will just trust you and be faithful to what you have asked us to do, even when it doesn't make sense. And we thank you for your grace and your mercy in our lives. And thank you, God, so much for your patience, even though we're boneheaded so many times, that you still love us and you're patient and you work through us, even though we don't deserve it. And Lord, I just pray that we will trust you and leave all the consequences in your hand.